Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of Sports and Religion. Along with my co-host, Macaulay Matthew, I'm, of course, William Amo. What's up, Mac? How you doing?
Hey, what's up? How's it going?
I'm doing good, man. Good to have you on the show, as always.
Yeah, glad to be on, as usual.
Thank you. And, folks, you know, I'm glad to have you as well on this special Sports of the Legend edition, Friday night edition. So I'm glad you guys are able to, you know, be on the show with me and Mac, as always. So, you know, I want to thank you for the support. So, you know, today's show, we're going to talk about, you know, the Super Bowl. You know, of course, Eagles finally winning their first Super Bowl. We're going to get into that. We're also going to talk about the NBA trade deadline, how it pertains to the Knicks, the Cavs, the Lakers, and so forth and so forth. And also give our thoughts on the, you know, the Todd Frazier signing by the Mets and, you know, the aftermath surrounding both teams because of it. You know, both New York teams, of course. And, of course, you know, we'll wrap it up with a little WWE. And, you know, most importantly, you know, get your phone calls, you know. Of course, you know, the number is 917-388-4189. That's 917-388-4189. So feel free to talk about any of these topics and more. You know, we'd love to hear from you. But with that in mind, yeah, let's get to this, about this, you know, memorable Super Bowl, Super Bowl 52, which, you know, the Eagles, you know, who've been obviously a dominant team, but, you know, due to, you know, the Patriots being the Patriots, you know, they were the underdogs, you know, even though they were, you know, dominant, they were running roughshod on everybody, the Eagles. If you don't ask me, ask Mac. You know, Mac's a diehard Giants fan, so he saw firsthand, you know, how, you know, powerful the Eagles have been. You know, Wentz went down and, you know, Foles, you know, pick up the slack and, you know, they went on the magical run. So, you know, credit to the Eagles, you know, they were able to join the Giants as two teams, much less two NFC East teams, to topple Tom Brady in the Super Bowl. So, you know, congratulations to the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah.
Of course, you know, they won by the final score 41-33. So what's your thoughts on Super Bowl Sunday last week?
I thought it was a great Super Bowl. I mean, high-scoring game, not much defense by either team. You know, it was surprising because I thought the Patriots defensively would play much better than they did. And I didn't expect the Eagles to move the ball that well. I mean, I know the Eagles played well against the Vikings in that NFC Championship game, but, man, Nick Foles was like, he played like the Nick Foles that we saw four or five years ago when he was a starting quarterback for the Eagles. I mean, he was finding the open man downfield. He was making efficient throws. He even caught a touchdown. You know, he definitely deserved the MVP of that game. But, yeah, I mean, overall, the Eagles, you know, they pretty much manhandled the Patriots line offensively. And, yeah, I mean, I was stunned because I thought the Patriots were going to blow out the Eagles. But, you know, they proved me wrong. And I should have bet on this game, man. I should have betted on the Patriots losing because the last two times the Patriots have been in the Super Bowl, I bet against them, and I lost money. And this time, I didn't even get to bet against them, and they end up losing. So just my luck.
Hey, look at the price. At least you didn't bet that the Eagles was going to win and you lost money. So.
Yeah. Well,
consider that.
Yeah, I didn't bet that all this time, but damn it, I should have. Man. But it was a good game. Very well
now
played
being
game. Very exciting Super Bowl.
Now you're being a Monday, or in this case, a Friday night quarterback. You know, you know what happens, man.
Yeah.
Money. So, unlike Tom Brady, you know, who's pouting because, you know, he didn't get to win that 6th one. Oh, man. You know, had the photo and, you know, what was it? I think Instagram, his wife took a photo saying, sometimes, you know, you got to let other teams win. And then that became a controversy because, you know, she was saying, like, she was upset that her words was twisted, like it's fixed and, the Patriots are so good that they allowed another team to win. So that's how her words was being twisted.
Well, she was explaining that to her kids.
Right. That's what she was saying in the tweet, that she was explaining it to her kids that, sometimes, other teams win. But the way how she worded it, phrased it, is like, sometimes you got to let other teams win. So it may imply, like, the Patriots didn't want to win it, and they just gave it. But obviously, how the Patriots thought. Patriots would never throw a game, much less a Super Bowl,
Yeah, of course
I
not.
Mean, some people think they, to win, but they would never throw a Super Bowl.
I don't think there's a scenario
that would happen. Yeah. But, it was a great Super Bowl. The Eagles finally won the Super Bowl. Previously they won 3 NFL championships prior to the Super Bowl, and then of course the eventual merger in 1970. After Super Bowl III, Jets was the first team to win the Super Bowl of the AFL team, but which is unfortunately going to be the 50th anniversary next year, and the Jets look like they're looking for a quarterback. So should they go after Nick Foles? Trade for Nick Foles? Should they trade for Kirk Cousins? Because most likely, they're going to put the tag on him, so they won't lose him. So what would you do in this instance?
Wow. That's a tough one right there. You might have to just put the franchise tag on him, just to retain him. I think that makes sense.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. Oh, they're definitely going to do that.
Yeah, I think
so. They're definitely going to put the franchise. They're definitely going to do that, because they don't want to lose them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, of course
it makes not. Makes all the perfect sense, to keep them and then trade them, trade them off.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably what they're going to end up doing.
Yeah, because everybody assumed, once they got Alex Smith, they would just let him walk away. And maybe that was what they planned to do, but I guess they hear all the buzz, what team is Kirk Cousins going to go to? What team is he going to go to? Is he going to go to the Jets and all this stuff? And I guess maybe someone, a light bulb went in their head and be like, hey, he's generating a lot of interest. Maybe we can get get some draft picks here, and franchise them and trade them off and get something for him instead of just letting him walk the free agency.
That makes sense.
That's what most likely they're going to do. Yeah, it does. So if you were Mike Maccagnan, the Jets GM, who would you prefer to trade for? Nick Foles, who went on a backup quarterback who went on a magical run? Due to him and his teammates' grit? Or do you go after Kirk Cousins, a top 15 quarterback, who obviously hasn't, hasn't won on a run like that yet. Obviously, hasn't won a championship. Do you go for a guy, you know, who's a top 15 quarterback and pay him like a top 10, top 5, top 10 quarterback? Or do you trade for Nick Foles?
I would do Cousins. The reason
again,
is because I would trade for Cousins.
That's
because
we don't put that contract.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. Yeah, I was just putting that little, you know, that little stipulation. If they don't put the franchise tag on Kirk Cousins and he becomes a free agent, because there is that possibility, you know.
Yeah,
they won't put the tag on him.
I would trade for Cousins because I think you know, we've seen Foles what happens when he's not on the Eagles, you know, how he plays, you know, he hasn't performed well on other teams, and I think he's a much better quarterback in that Eagles system. I mean, their offensive style fits him best, and I don't see him performing well on any other team besides the Eagles, and I can see Cousins, you know, doing even better somewhere else, and maybe, you know, on the Jets. You know, I think that could be a right fit for him. I would trade for Cousins. I think Cousins has more potential.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I mean, you know, Kirk Cousins, I mean, he raved about the Jets' new offensive coordinator, you know. And, you know, Kirk Cousins, I mean, he has potential, you know. But, I mean, basically hasn't lived up to that potential yet. But, you know, I think they should take a stab at him, you know, and try to get him, you know. I mean, obviously, you know, you know, Kirk Cousins is obviously not a top 10 quarterback, but, you know, they gotta make a move like this, you know, because they need somebody. They can't be going out. They can't go after McCowan or a Fitzpatrick type guy all the time. You know, they gotta try to get a guy who's more proven, you know, to turn this team around. I mean, I know they have like apparently $100 million to spare, but I think they need a surefire guy, you know, and try to.
I agree.
I still would draft a quarterback anyway. You know, have that young guy to develop. Because I mean, look what happened to Tom Brady. Tom Brady was hurt. They had Garofalo. You know, once he got hurt, you know, a few years ago, you know, Garofalo came in and he was. They didn't skip a beat. You know.
Yeah,
so I think
true.
That was the best shot. Obviously, you know, they did trade him away, you know. So, you know, and as a result, Garofalo signed the biggest deal, you know, for a QB. You know, five-year extension, 5 years, what was it, $137 million or so?
Yeah.
You know, for a backup, you know, former backup guy, you know. So, I mean – I think they should take that. I think they should go after Cousins.
I think so too. I think that'd be the right move for the Jets. And you know, he's still a young guy. I think he's what, nearing 30. I don't even know. I don't even think he's 30 yet, right?
Garofalo.
Oh no! I was talking about Cousins.
Garofalo.
I was going back to Cousins.
Garofalo, he's 26. Cousins, I'm gonna check quickly. How old is he? Is he 30?
Yeah, he's 29. Yeah, he's gonna be 30 later this year, Cousins.
Yeah, he's 29 right now. He's gonna turn 30 in August 19th, to be exact.
Yeah.
But they definitely They definitely should go after him, you know, make that deal with the Redskins and get him.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens. And, you know, hey, congratulations to Garoppolo with his new deal, his five-year, $137 million deal with the 49ers, you know.
Yeah,
so.
That's a big contract for a guy who only started, what, six games or something like that? Although he did play well, but they showed the stats that he pretty much had the same numbers that Colin Kaepernick had his last five starts or six starts with the Niners. So, but he did lead them to what, a 6-7-0 record down the stretch. Garoppolo did. So, you know, we'll have to see. You know, we'll see how he performs with that huge contract, and if he does meet all this hype that surrounds him right now.
Yeah.
If he fulfills his potential.
What was I gonna say? And back to the Eagles, man. That team was gritty, man. The Tom Brady, man, he's like Jason and Freddie Krueger roll up in one. You know, just when you think he's down, even though they were down by eight, he was going down the field, man. He was going down the field, and with that last shot, he almost scored that touchdown, you know, you know, obviously they didn't need a 2-point conversion to tie the game, but you know, all in all, it was a great Super Bowl.
Yeah, Brady played a great game. Brady had like 505 yards,
yeah,
right? Over 500 yards.
Yeah, I mean. Yeah, he had a great game. You know, it's just the other team outplayed them. You know.
Yeah.
You know, they were still in that. They only had the lead one time, which, you know, I had a feeling was gonna happen. You know, I thought they were gonna come back and win. I knew they were gonna come back. You know, kind of like last year. You know, people were like, "Nah, man, they're not gonna come back." I'm like, "Man, they're too close to the Eagles for them not to come back." They're still hovering around. I was getting worried for the Eagles. The Eagles, man, I mean, at the maximum, they only had a 10-point lead. You know, they had the Patriots were floating around in striking distance. So, sure enough, they did come back. What was the lead? Like 32-31 or something like that? 33-32 or something like that. You know, they briefly got the lead. You know, and then, you know, Eagles made some gutsy moves and stuff like that. And, you know, they were able to put, you know, got the lead up to an 8-point lead instead of not playing it safe. And, you know, it sealed the victory for them in the end. So, you know, congratulations to the Eagles. You know, they celebrated they had the parade yesterday, I should say. And now the Eagles join New York and Boston as teams that have won in all four major sports. So congratulations, you know. But, you know, speaking of that, what's up with the Empire State Building, you know, showing love to Philadelphia and New England once they got to the Super Bowl? And then, you know, lighting up the Empire State for the green for the Eagles victory. I mean, come on. I mean, I understand they do that for winners and stuff like that, but those two cities hate our guts, man. I mean, what's the point? You know what I mean? You would never see them color Rocky in New York colors, you know, if we won a Super Bowl. I mean, what's up with that?
Yeah, we're too generous, you know, like, you know, they would never do something like that for us.
Come on.
You know, they don't give a damn.
I know.
But we did as courtesy, you know, for them. But at the end of the day, screw Philadelphia and screw New England.
And then that just reminded me of when Phillies won the championship. You know, they beat the Tampa Bay Rays.
Oh,
and
yeah.
They were like, you know, the announcer. Not the fans, not the players. I mean, don't get me wrong. Little Jimmy Rollins was talking smack. You know, we know that. But the announcer is like, take that, New York. And I'm like, are you serious, dude? You have a memorable call that will be in the ages. You know what I'm saying? You have a memorable call, a call, and you got to waste your memorable call talking smack on New York, especially the Mets. I mean, come on, dude. Stay classy, dude.
Right.
And they haven't won a championship ever since that. So, in any case, speaking of the Phillies, you know, the Phillies, you know, they only made one big offseason move, you know, signing, you know, Carlos Santana. No, not Carlos Santana. What's his name again? Carlos, what was that guy's name? What was that guy's name? Jeez, I can't remember his name. What's his name? The first baseman.
I can't think of it either.
It can't be Carlos Santana.
No, it's not.
Sure enough, it is Carlos Santana.
Is it?
It is Carlos Santana.
Oh, okay.
I never made the analogy that he had the same name as the singer, guitarist and singer until now. I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, is it Carlos Santana? I'm like, no, it can't be Carlos Santana, because
yeah,
I would have known it was Carlos Santana. For my mind, sure enough, he has the same name as Carlos Santana.
Wow.
I'm having like a Kelly Bundy moment. I just feel like he has the same name as the guitarist. Oh man. Oh well. Well, that's the only major move, you know. The East, you know, it looks like it's gonna be weak, other than you know, the two headed dragons with the Mets and the Nationals. Obviously, you know, the Marlins are in a fire sale. Knowing these teams as long as I do, the Phillies, the Marlins, the Braves, and of course, you know, the Nationals. They're the top team in the East until then the Mets knock them off. You know, they're the team to beat. But you know, those teams are gonna be up for the Mets. It don't matter if these teams are bottom, are cellar dwellers like the Marlins are expected to be. You know, with them trading everybody, but you know, those organizations, man, they're good at drafting prospects. So, you know, in a few years, you know, once those teams gel, you know, they could compete for the wild card, you know, in the future.
Yeah.
Or maybe even for the division once these teams gel. So
could be competitive.
But
very competitive.
Yeah. So don't count these teams out in a few years, because these organizations know how to draft well, you know. But the Mets, you know, they acquired time. What's your thoughts, you know, on, you know, Todd Frazier, you know, taking, you know, leaving his talents from the Bronx and taking his talents to the Queens? What do you think about that?
Well, I think it's a good move for the Mets. I mean, he's definitely going to bring power to that lineup, because the Mets need, you know, a big bat in their lineup badly, because, I mean, we saw last year in big spots, you know, they couldn't generate offense, you know, during the season. So he's definitely going to add some pop to that lineup. But I don't know, like, in Citi Field, I wonder how many home runs he's going to hit, you know. Is he going to be jinxed like some of these other hitters have been when they come over to the Mets, or will he continue to hit like 30, 40 home runs every year? Well, we'll see. I mean, he'll definitely be a big bat. I mean, he'll probably bat behind what's his name?
Cespedes, or
Cespedes.
Or maybe Gonzalez. If he most likely he's gonna beat out Dominic Smith for the job. So most likely he's gonna be you know, Cespedes, Frazier, and Gonzalez, you know, or heart of the order,
right?
You know, which if those guys have if Gonzalez, you know, and Frazier maintains what he does, if Gonzalez has the founding of youth, and Frazier, you know, did what he did with the, you know, with the Yankees and the White Sox last season, you know, he could be a very good, you know, veteran, you know,
yeah,
for the team.
And he's a leader in the locker room. So he's going to, you know, lead some of these young guys, you know, talk to them a bit, you know, give them some tips and advice. You know, he's good with he did a lot with our young players last year, and I thought he was a great teammate to have, you know, when he was on the Yankees.
Right. So he could be like a Robin Ventura light, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
But, you know, Ventura was a lot greater, a better hitter than he was. I mean, that's Todd Frazier's biggest kryptonite. He needs to hit better. His walk rate has improved. But you know, if he could hit for average, I think he was a much better. I think he was a much better hitter back in the days. I mean, he was in Cincinnati. But if he could be at least a decent hitter and put up the power numbers at about 30, you know, he'll be a, and keep the, you know, maintain the defense. You know, he'll be a great find for the team.
Yeah.
Know?
Should be a good,
that was a good move.
A good move. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. I think, you know, for the Mets, they need to get one more starter. You know, hopefully Lance Lynn, you know, that guy, he's a former All-Star, a World Series champion. You know, I hope they get him. But, you know, most likely they're not going to get him or Cobb. They're probably going to get a second tier guy or a third tier guy, depending. I guess if you want to put, obviously you want to put Jake Arrieta and Darvish on the A level, and then you have Lance Lynn on the B plus level, and then you got like the Jimenez and Jason Vargas, you know, those type of guys, you know, on the C level, you know, guys with, you know, potential. I mean, Vargas, he did have a good year. He had 18 wins. His ERA was a little high for my taste. Former Met, you know, they could go that route, but you know, I hope they go for Lance Lynn and maybe sign Ubaldo Jimenez to a minor league deal as an insurance, you know. That I think that'd be a good move, but they gotta go after them. They gotta go after Lance Lynn for sure, in my opinion.
Yeah, Mets need to add some depth to their pitching. You know, it definitely needs some more pitching right now. So, and there's a lot of guys still available out in the market, you know. It's weird because you have a lot of these guys available on the free agency market, but it's like teams are trying to avoid them, you know. It's weird. It's a weird offseason.
It absolutely is. And there's no surprise Jacob DeGrom, after he cut his hair, he declares that, you know, he believes he's gonna win the Cy Young, and that the Mets will win the World Series.
Wow!
Which is no surprise. You know, who would have thought? You know, in a new season, you know, people are, you know, a talented player is optimistic, but you know, it takes a lot of guts to declare it, you know, boldly like that.
Yeah.
He says, we want to win the World Series. So hopefully he will. We'll see what happens with that.
New year, new hairdo.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And, you know, on Saturday news, Mets great Buddy Harrelson, he got diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease, you know. Buddy Harrelson, of course, you know, he was, you know, a Met lifer. You know, he played, you know, he's one of the greatest shortstop, if not the greatest shortstop in Mets history. You could, I guess, argue with him or Jose Reyes, who's the best. Mm-hmm. You know, this guy has done it all with the Mets. You know, he was a former player, of course, you know, member of the Championship 69 team, the NFC champion, NL champion, 73 team, the AK, you gotta believe Mets on 73. Then he was a coach for the, you know, 86 Mets, you know, so. And then afterwards, after Davey Johnson got fired, he became the manager, a short-lived manager. So, you know, this guy, he lives and breathes orange and blue, you know. So, yeah, I mean, just on a human, you know, on a human level, you know, I hope he has a speedy recovery, you know. I mean, well, actually, what can I say? Speedy recovery. I mean, Simon. I mean, I just hope, I don't know, I just, you know, I just wish him the best. I mean, you know, with, you know, having this horrible disease, you know.
Yeah.
You know what to say. But, yeah, shifting gears to the Yankees, what do you think the Yankees are going to do with, you know, with Frazier gone? You think they're going to just – are they going to sign Moustakas, or are they going to let the rookie guy, Andalahar, you know, call him up? What do you think they're going to do with third?
Well, you know, there's been a lot of talk about Moustakas, although the Yankees are hesitant to sign him because of the luxury tax, so they might just have to bring up the minors. You know, again, they got two young guys in the minors right now that they could bring up. So Yankees are still debating what they're going to do. I wouldn't mind Moustakas. I mean, he's a good player. But I do want to continue seeing the Yankees, you know, bring up these young players from the minors, let them grow in the pros, and, you know, eventually hopefully create a new dynasty, I hope, you know. But, you know, we'll see what happens. And I know they're also looking at Yu Darvish, adding him to the pitching staff. But they're also hesitant about adding him because of the luxury tax. So I wouldn't mind having him as well. But if we don't get him, it's not a deal breaker. So.
Hey, and hey, look at the bright side. You got Russell Wilson on your team now.
Yeah, that's true.
You might bring that Seahawks magic.
Yeah, you know, can definitely throw. Definitely throw from the outfield.
But shifting gears, speaking of New York trades, you know, the Knicks, they made one move. They got Moutier, former seventh-round pickup from a few years ago. Similar player to Nerlens Noriega. They got him in a three-team trade, where Knicks traded away Doug McDermott, you know, a young guy, he's like a Steve Novak, you know, Korver type player, as you know, of course, Mac. You know, it's sad to see him go, but, you know, he was a free agent, so most likely he was going to leave. And, you know, I think they got a draft pick or two out of this trade.
Something like
second
that, but I thought McDermott was a good player, man, off the bench. I hate that the Knicks traded him.
And I didn't like that they traded away Hernan Gomez. Yeah, I know he did ask for a trade. But I think it was really out of frustration because he wasn't playing. You know, he's a young guy. You know, he wanna play. You know, when push comes to shove, he would prefer to stay. I mean, I don't know the guy. I'm not in the locker room, so I don't know how badly he wanted to leave. But, you know, once you put it out there that, hey, you better play me or trade me, you know, hey, you're really putting yourself in a tough spot. You know, you're showing up the GM. So most likely they're going to – and the coach too, you know, Hornacek and Perry. So unfortunately he got traded, you know. And then not to mention they got the whole drama with Noah and that albatross of a contract. So, you know. Knicks, and then cap it off with the Porzingis injury. I mean, it just keeps getting worse and worse, man. I mean, you know, this Knicks season couldn't get any worse, and now Porzingis is out for the rest of the year. He's not going to come back until literally next year at the earliest, like February, March, who knows, man. I mean, it's a tough road, man.
Knicks are
the only good thing out of this. They can draft somebody with some good players with these picks, you know, hopefully. I mean, Scott Perry is really going to need his thinking cap, you know, to try to turn this team around, because, you know, it's not looking good, you know. Hopefully Moutier and Nilakina can, you know, since they're both similar players, guys who are great defensive, who have potential to score, hopefully they can live up to that aspect, and hopefully bench Jared Jack and let these young guys play. Shifting gears, what was I going to say? basically, what happened on Raw this week? I'm trying to remember. No, it's not down.
Let me remember here.
Oh, there was like qualifying matches. Samson. You know, Elias Samson. He pinned John Cena, so he's gonna be coming last in the Elimination Chamber. And then on SmackDown, the Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens match that ended in a draw. So for two pay-per-views in a row, Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens will be battling against AJ Styles for the championship. So, I mean, is WWE running out of ideas? I mean,
it sounds like it. Yeah, redundant with their storylines.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't have a problem with Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn fighting each other. Even much less, obviously, in a handicap match against AJ Styles, but now they're doing it too. Pay-per-view events in a row? I mean, that's one is a handicap match and another one is just a triple threat. I mean, that's really unimaginative. I was really surprised that they did that. I mean, they're really making turning Daniel Bryan into a heel. I mean,
it's
come on.
Looking like it, yeah.
You can't even defend this move, man. It's like, come on. It's ridiculous. Do something better. The only good news that came out of WWE this week is that Triple H has taken over 205 Live, and now they're going to model it the way they envision it to be, like another brand like NXT. And you know, they announced that rock star Spud, who's now called Drake Maverick, sound like a Darkwing Duck character, Drake Mallard. You know, he's the new GM of 205 Live, so it's going to be similar to NXT. Or even the Cruiserweight Challenge, where, you know, talent is going to be, you know, high-flying talent is going to be highlighted instead of these goofy, you know, Raw-type gimmicks that these wrestlers are having. So Triple H has taken over that. It's going to be its own brand. And that sounds like a great idea, you know. Vince is going to be more interested in his XFL. And, you know, this will definitely boost the 205 Live, especially after Enzo Amore got fired for the alleged sexual assault charges, and not to mention other stuff that has happened to past stars like Neville leaving and wasn't that black guy Rich Swann, you know, having the domestic abuse. So hopefully they could revive that brand. But do you have anything you'd like to say quickly?
Well, check out my show here shortly at 12:30. Come back here, check out Sports Driven Legend every Saturdays at 11. Only a block over.
All right, you heard the guy. Check. You betcha. So check out next week's episode. It's going to be a special episode. I have a great interview with a friend of mine, Gio Duris. You don't want to miss this episode. So check out that episode next week. It's going to be awesome. So of course, come back next week, Saturday at 11. Check out my show, Sports Urban Legend. But tune in right here. Stay right where you are at midnight tonight. In a few minutes from now, IMAX is going to be on with his starring Macaulay Matthew. So check out that show. He's Macaulay Matthew. I'm William Ramo. And I'll see you guys back next week, Saturday at 11, at its usual time. Peace, everybody.